Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I lift up my eyes to the hills, says the psalmist. I lift up my eyes to the hills. How many of us have done that how many times, particularly living here where we do, surrounded by the beauty of God's creation and especially those mountains? I lift up my eyes to the hills, seeking inspiration, seeking a vision of God, seeking a future, seeking the beauty of God's kingdom. This is one of those songs of ascent. We've talked about them here before. We walked through them during the last Lenten period. There are 15 psalms parked in the middle of the 150 psalms that make up our canon. And the 15 of them were sung by the faithful as they returned to Jerusalem for the three great Hebrew religious festivals of each year. They would gather from all over Israel. They would come from the north in Galilee. They'd come south, and they would head toward Israel, and they would begin to aggregate and gather on those roadways as they came. And as they did, they would renew friendships, they would share community, and they would sing. You see, the Hebrews were famous for their singing. And it was uphill all the way to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the highest point, highest inhabitable point in Israel. It sits on top of Mount Zion. And so everywhere that you went, when you went to Jerusalem, was uphill. And so the psalmist says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. I lift up my eyes to the hills. At the top of that hill, you see, was the city of God. At the top of that hill was success. And there was a succession of hills that followed. And so there were more and more and more, a promise of the expansiveness of God's creation. This is a pilgrim psalm, you see, written for travelers on a journey. It's a psalm for people who are going somewhere, specifically for people who are going to God. And so the question is, though, where is that God is? That's always the question, isn't it? How can I find him? Where will he be? We know that this God is ever and always on the move around. You know, Jesus said, foxes have holes, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He was always on the move, still is. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? That's the question. Those hills, you see, those hills, just like these around here, those hills could harbor marauders, and they often did. As those pilgrims would make their way through them, oftentimes they would run into them. They would be threatened. But those hills could also be Zion. They could be the home of God's presence here on earth. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? The image is powerful. It's got resonance for us with these mountains as a constant backdrop here. But not only from where comes my help, from where comes my threat? What direction shall I look? What protection shall I claim? We're going to talk about that today. This is a passage for those that are pursuing a vision. I lift up my eyes to the hills. I look for God. I search for God. Where is my God? And those that are pursuing that vision are then rewarded with truth. My help, says the psalmist, comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. In that search, in that vision, comes that answer. Comes God's response. I am here. I am here always. Our helper is none less than the Creator who stands before, outside, and within his creation. Six times we're told in this psalm, six times that he keeps us. He is our keeper, our protector, our defender. And he will not rest. We're told that as well. It ends in a great promise. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. What a promise. What a comfort. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. We can claim that as his children. We can claim that as his people. From whence comes my help? There's the answer right there. This is a reassurance, I think, that we can use this morning in this COVID pandemic nightmare period. Like these early people that the psalmist is addressing, that he's sharing the journey with, we are pilgrims on our journey, finding ourselves always in motion, always following our ceaselessly moving Lord down new paths. Not our paths, his paths. And that's the problem, isn't it? Where is he going? How will we know? Are we willing to follow? Do we dare follow? This might unsettle my security. But there he goes. Which way shall I go? And like them, we've lifted our eyes to the hills here at FHPC, seeking the Lord's help. We've done it repeatedly, even just in the short time, relatively so, that I've been here. In the 10 years that I can speak to, we started that. Often in those early years, every year, every other year, whatever, we would gather the session for a two-day retreat somewhere. And we would say, let's take your eyes off the immediate challenges within the church. Let's take your eyes off the section of our church business that you direct as a rule. And let's talk about larger issues. Where are we headed as a church? Where is God calling us? Are we on the right path? We would look at that larger picture and we would seek God and we would seek a vision. We met for the specific purpose of divining that vision, if you will. That went on for some years, and then we gave it a priority in 2015, if you recall. The session commissioned Norm Collins to call together a group from out of the larger church body to cast a vision for what FHPC could become over the next 5 to 10 years. Do you remember that document? Do you remember those folks? They worked hard. The visioning team met throughout 2016 doing research, seeking input, sharing insights, and praying for guidance. Lord, your church is in trouble, not just this church, your church worldwide. What do you have in store for it? How can we sustain it? What is our calling? Late in that year, 2016, they delivered a 15-page report to the session entitled A Vision of FHPC in the Future, and the session in turn delivered it to you. The vision. Vision again became a focal point this past summer. We've talked repeatedly here about the new vision and mission statements. The session met to try to prayerfully interpret the future of our church amidst the shifting landscape of the pandemic era. What will church look like going forward? What must church look like going forward? How will we adapt? How will we address people in this new matrix that we find around us? Those folks on the other side of that camera there, how can we reach them? How can we comfort them? How can we share Christ with them? And we emerged with new vision and mission statements and a renewed commitment to reaching out and sharing Christ. That's how we understood our calling. The vision was to be missionaries bearing the gospel into the world. And the mission was growing as devoted followers of Jesus Christ by making disciples for our Lord and Savior. With that in mind, let me just ask you a question. By the way, how are you coming with that each one, reach one thing? Each one, reach one. You remember that? I hope you're making phone calls. I hope you're having folks come into your home. I hope you're just gently sharing Christ with them, and I hope you're moving toward inviting them to worship with you in your home. Now, I was going to raise significant points about this vision this morning, and I was going to tell you that Session has been gaining insights into the implementation of that vision. That's what I was going to do. And I was going to tell you that they were working on telling us how to turn this vision into practice. And that because we're lifting our eyes to God, you should be excited to be part of this church. That's what I was going to tell you. But see, I'm not. And I was hoping that this would inspire you to give. I really was, so that we could continue in making our vision a reality. But then I talked to my wife. You have to know Carolyn is a terrible truth teller, especially to me. And I love her for it. She said to me, "Well, that's all well and good, preacher boy, but I don't necessarily find it compelling. I'm glad you've done that. I'm glad you're excited about it, but I don't find it compelling." She said, "You know what? You know what makes me excited about your church is when I see that look on your face, when you talk about those people, when you talk from your heart, and about how you really feel about them, and about how much joy you take in being their pastor, about how you never expected to serve an older congregation in a small community, about how privileged you feel that they call you pastor, about how much you've come to respect them and to love them, about how you see the love of Jesus Christ reflected within them and from them." She said, "I find that compelling when I see that in you and when I hear that from you, about how brave and faithful they have been. Through the old schism, that period of time, if you recall it, through the new coming of a new pastor 10 years ago, through the denominational thing, through all the stuff that we've been through, how brave and faithful you have been. About all the things they've done and how much they've accomplished despite their limitations of age and size, and about how proud you are of them. About how much you admire them." She said, "Those are the things that I find compelling. Those are the things when I see them in you that make me want to be involved. About what a truly unique, independent, cranky, idiosyncratic, quirky, beautiful, loving, caring, friendly, compassionate, giving and forgiving, utterly irreplaceable community they are." That's you. All of those. Some of you are crankier than others. She said, "That's what I think you ought to tell them." So she wrote this sermon. Thank you, honey.
Thank you.
She said, "That's why I'm glad we're in this church. That's why I'm glad you're there. And that's why I'm excited to do my part as well." And so I said, okay. Then I asked her if she'd been hanging out with Arlene too much. But you know, I think she's on to something. In fact, I know she's on to something. Because I'm speaking to you now, and I have been for these last 5 minutes from my heart, and everything she said is true. That's how I feel about this church, about you, about our Lord, about our future. And I hope you join me in it. I hope my enthusiasm is your enthusiasm. I came here this morning to ask you to dig deep because God is calling us to lots of new and different ways of doing church, ways of sharing ministry. And I came to ask you to give until it stretched you because we had lifted our eyes to the hills and had been given a vision for planting seeds of an abundant future and a flourishing church. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I mean, yes, I'm going to ask you to give. Don't worry about that. I'm going to ask you to give, but not for those reasons. I'm going to ask you to give because we're all blessed to be part of an absolutely original, one-of-a-kind community of faith. Think about it. If you've been part of other churches, you know what I'm talking about. There's simply no other community quite like this one. There just isn't. It's in our DNA as children of God. We're the community He's created, a community where Christ is both honored and evident, where love of God and neighbor runs deep, where commitment to one another is lived out in everyday reality, sometimes so much we even fight about it. Come on, face it. You know that. Friends, that's so worth preserving. That's so worth preserving and nurturing and sharing and spreading throughout Fountain Hills what we have here. We lift our eyes to the hills and we see four peaks. There are marauders there, as there were in those hills around Jerusalem. They're the ones that say that this church has no future. They're the ones that say, well, we're old and we're diminishing. And they say to us, give it up. They try to steal our hope. They try to steal our future. But God's there also, and we're his temple here. He constituted us. He protects us. He said the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against us. This is the place where pilgrims gather. Here we are, and there you are on the other side of that camera. This is the place where pilgrims gather. This is the place where he is. And this is what he says. This is what he says. Beware, therefore, that what the prophet said does not happen to you. Look, you scoffers, be amazed and perish, for in your days I'm doing a work that you will never believe, even if someone tells you. You see, amidst all of the trials and tribulations and all the isolation of COVID and everything else, God is still at work. Things are still happening. You know, honestly, we are reaching more people now than we have ever reached through this video mechanism. We're sharing the kingdom at greater length than we ever have. And people are communicating with us. We get calls in the office from folks that we don't have faces to go with the names, but they say, we've been watching you online, and we really appreciate what you're doing. And they send checks large and small. And they say, we want to support what you're doing. And we love Christ, and we love how you're sharing him, and we want to be part of it. So even in this time where we're not able to see our whole community, where we're not able to behave in the ways we're used to, God is still at work here doing new things, exciting things. So let me be bold. Let me speak plainly in the few minutes I have left. I'm literally begging you to give. You see, we need it. All the things that we're doing now, the technological things, the outreach things, and all those stuff, they take more money than it did before. We need your support. We need your support. So I'm literally begging you to give. Please give. Make a pledge. Make a pledge till it seems enough, and then go one step further till it seems exciting, till it seems challenging to you, till it seems fulfilling to you to share in the name of Christ, who has shared so much with us. Because you see, God, our keeper, will honor your gift. Because God, the master gardener, will nurture the seeds that you plant. Because this town needs this church. Because our neighbors need this church. Because let's face it, we need this church. And because right now, in our days, in this time, God is doing a work among us, a work that you will never believe, even if I told you. So let's do our part. Let's return to God what came from him in the first place so that we can follow his vision for FHPC. And let's lift our eyes to the hills and see where he's going. After all, he promised to keep our going out and our coming in together from this time on and forevermore. And that's a vision that we should find compelling. Amen.